Oh, Lord willing, let's get into the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We left off in the 23rd verse. And tonight, Lord willing, we'll read about our wonderful brother Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith they saw, and by faith they were not afraid. And how sweet that such a man of God, that God's first commendation is the faith of his parents. And I so appreciated that. And it had me think so much of my parents, and especially my mom. And the faith that she has had for my life. And I believe those that have had children and children that have grown. And I just have some, I still think they're babies. And I guess maybe you always look at them as babies. I don't know. But by the grace of God, I would hope that our faith, and I think it needs to, grow even more for them. Because there's more complications in their life. There's more different things. There's spouses that come in and they have their own kids. So it really never ends. But I was thinking again of the precious faith of my mom, not to magnify her, but the faithfulness of God in her life. And being the baby of the family, I got to see a lot of things before me. Still didn't take all of it as wisdom. I still had to get in my own situations. But being the youngest, I saw many things happen. And I saw the great work of faith in her life. And there was many things that were tragic. There are still many things that are very sad. Most of them pertaining to the things of God, obviously, and your children. But what a privilege to have parents of faith and the wisdom that he gave them. In Exodus 1:22, we won't turn there, but I'll just note this. This is a time where Pharaoh charged that the people, that all the sons born to the Jews would be thrown in the river, if you remember the story. And the Jews had multiplied greatly, and Pharaoh was concerned. And I just always loved that story, how they built up all their great temples and their different things and of that nature. And yet there were those Jews that they were using to work, and they were using them as slaves and all that. But see, God was for them. And God had them in a place, but God was also preparing them and obviously preparing a leader. And out of the wonderful seed of Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents. It's their faith that is celebrated first. His parents believed God and instilled that same faith in their son's heart. And again, growing up, I just think of the things that God did in my life. And I have to say, mostly through my mother. I appreciated so much the faith of my dad. Saw so many things, but I always felt I had such a good balance of seeing different things of the Word of God in both of them. Dad brought in so much reasoning. And I could see Mom and Dad sometimes butt heads over reasoning and faith. And you'd look at it naturally speaking, and I'd have to look at Mom, and I'd say, well, Dad was right, Mom. But then Mom was standing there in faith, and, you know, faith's always going to get the checkmate on that. And it's just so precious to see the work of faith in the life. But again, parents have an awesome responsibility, don't they? You don't think you have a ministry sometimes. You don't think that you have a testimony. The greatest ministry and the greatest testimony that God, if He's given you children, it's in your home. That's where it begins. And it's you. It's the responsibility of the parent, by the grace of God, to live that life. Always thought of it as the ones that, you know, I don't want my kid to smoke and I'm sitting there smoking around them. Well, if I'm not living for the Lord, how are my kids going to live for the Lord? It's that simple. They see it in their parents, the environment that they're from. They usually kind of gravitate back towards that. And again, having that in the home, that ministry that we can have is so precious. But there was a crisis that was going on. But by faith, they believed God. Really, let that speak to you. They knew that their son was chosen. He was a proper child. And in reading this, you must think that they had a divine encouragement, a divine wisdom. And they were without fear placing their son in that river. They obeyed God, and real faith always conquers carnal fear. Did you hear that? Real faith always conquers carnal fear. It is true. Faith conquered Egypt's power. Egypt always speaks of the world. As parents, now my boys are getting old enough. The Lord didn't say that we were going to, you know, He didn't want to take us out of the world. He put us in here. But He can keep you from the evil in the world. And it's not me that keeps my child from the evil of the world. I need to be in there. I need to be aware of it. But it's just like the Lord had shown me so much. I need to lay that life right here on this altar as well, too. My spouse, my children. And I left out, because I don't have them, if God tarry, maybe I will. But even your grandchildren and even your great-grandchildren, whatever it may be, leave them on the altar with God. Such a wonderful, precious promise that God gives us. But God instructs through the impossible, doesn't He? God gives peace through the impossible. You think about this again. This baby, and I've never been there. I've seen pictures of it. But this is a crocodile-infested, snake-infested river. And they put that little baby in that basket, Moses drawn out of water, and put him in there. And that wondrous statement of faith molded one of the greatest Old Testament saints. In Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." You can know the Lord face to face. And think of how much more Scripture we have been revealed. Since even Moses. We have the dispensation that was given to Paul. That's the face-to-face how we can know our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But again, what so encouraged me is that Moses always was looking toward and looking forward to his promise. And what was his promise? His promise that he was going to be the deliverer. What a wonder! What is our promise? That we can accept. Now again, Moses didn't have to take that, did he? And I was even reading that story again and again, and how it angered God, didn't it? Did you? If you read that story, it's fun. If you ever think that there's not something funny in the Word of God, it was pretty funny. He said, "Okay, Moses, I've appeared to you, I've talked to you, I've done all this. Now I want you to get over there, and I'm going to have you tell these things to Pharaoh, and I'm going to have you." Oh, but God, I'm slow of speech. I'm not an eloquent man. You could just see God shaking His head. Do I really have to be patient again? But that's how He was with Moses. And He gave him that sweet Aaron to be his mouthpiece. But that's God again with us. His faithfulness. He never stops, doesn't He? He keeps picking us up. And even when we fall, even when we get discouraged, He so loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank Him so much for being patient with me. I don't know about you. But let me tell you, you only know Him face to face by faith. And that seed was from His parents. It was planted by His parents in His life. And again, tonight I was even thinking, if you're not living Christ for you yourself, if you're not living it for yourself, live it for your children. You think that can encourage you sometimes? I have to tell you, there's times I get a little bit low on myself. And I'm so thankful that the Lord lets me see my kids. And He's given me a great love for my kids. And it encourages me on in the things of God. Even with my spouse or with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what? We're human. We're going to have times that we're getting a little weary out there, aren't we? And that's when we need to pick up. And I appreciate the encouraging letters and the different phone calls and the different ones and the prayers especially. That encourage me on in the things of God. And again, as parents, I can say for my own self, when there's times I'm feeling a little bit, well, maybe not tonight, or maybe I'll just shortcut this a little bit with God, and there's that little face popping around the corner. You know what? Have faith for your kids. And it's amazing what God will give you. It's amazing. Do you think they were joying in their Moses? My mama, I'm going to tell you something. She's always called me her little joy boy. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But do you think Moses was their parents' little joy boy? Oh, I'm sure. I think you got a little joy boy too, you know. I used to be called mama's boy a lot of times. But You know, there's a faith and an independence I know in my life that very few people have. But it's because of God and because of what He wants to do in your life. Note that now in the following verses, we're going to read seven products of faith in Moses' life and how perfect they were. And in the order, by faith he refused, by faith he chose, by faith he esteemed, by faith he respected, by faith he forsook, by faith he endured, and by faith he kept. That was 80 years. Folks, it was 80 years. 40 years in Egypt as a leader, and 40 years on the backside of the desert herding sheep. And again, reading this, I'm sure Moses thought he was good and ready after those first 40 years. He had been with the king. He had been with Pharaoh. He knew how to rule. He knew how to order. I'm sure he knew how to lead. And he thought he was probably ready to fulfill that promise. But he was dealing with God. And God needed him 40 years on the backside of nowhere with a bunch of sheep. And I'm going to have to tell you this. Where do you think you need to be with God? Huh? What place do you think you need to be with God? Uh-huh. Let Him put you in the place. Let Him put you where He wants you in the body. His place is perfect. And by the grace of God, I was thinking about even my own life. The Lord brought me into the ministry at the age of 40. He gave me some testing. Gave me some different things there. But there's always reasons for it. But learn to take it from God where He has put you. Where He's put you in work. Where He's put you in life. Therewith to be content. Thankful in how many things? In all things. In all things. Like I was kidding the other day with you. But I wasn't kidding. How about when you don't find that parking place, huh? Are you thankful for that? How about when, you know, it didn't go right and you were late to that appointment? Were you thankful for that? How about you studied for a test and you know what? The teacher even gave you a whole different chapter and you studied all in the wrong thing. That ever happened to you? That was a bad feeling, wasn't it? Sorry to bring those nightmares up. You won't sleep well tonight. Well, you probably have a test tomorrow. But in all things, that He's perfect that which concerns me. The hair of my head, my thought afar off, He knows me. But He needed to have those sheep for 40 years. The real test of patience and subjection, to be prepared, to be enabled for service to God. He prepares the vessel. It's not man. He prepares the vessel. He's shown me that. A lot of times I believe in my heart, you know, Lord, I'm so inadequate to do something. I'm so unable to do something. And that's just the moment He encourages me. He says, I got you right where I want you. It's not of you. It's my work. And furthermore, you're my workmanship. See, that gives me rest. And I know, not that I'll be slothful in things. It's just like Brother Kelly, I appreciated him. We were visiting out here and it got to be about 7:10, you know, and I was walking back in the office. He says, oh, you got to go back there and study. I said, oh, brother, if I haven't studied by now, we're all in trouble. It's time to just go pray. It's time to go pray. And I remember Brother Hill encouraging that way, even as a young man just teaching class. He says, son, you study it, but it's God that gives the increase. You sow to it, but He gives you the increase. It's His Spirit, and He will unleash it, and it's so wonderful. But the truth being all over his life while growing up in Pharaoh's palace always kept him, always sustained him, and always separated him. Do you think his parents panicked a little bit, thinking, you know, this is our son. This is the proper child. And yet he's going to grow up in the hands of Pharaoh. He's going to be out there in that world. Linda, could you imagine releasing your kids into that world? You let them even go to public school, didn't you? But God had His hand on them, didn't they? Amen. Who's in charge? Who's taking care of this? Whose place is it? It's God's. Now, He instructs us, and we're to be parents, amen, that correct. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Been there and done that. And I'm the one that pays. You know what I'm saying? But again, it's still Him. And I'm under His hand. Amen. And I'm trusting Him for my children. And this is what you get when you trust Him. Hallelujah. He's promised you. You raise them up in the way that they should go. When they're old, they're not going to depart from it. They may flip around here and flip around there. But I'll tell you what I've seen is growing up in here some very godly parents. And I'm so thankful to see the promise of the Lord in bringing those kids back. And many of them, by the grace of God, never left. And that's a real sweet thing, is to see him growing up and continuing in that fruit. See, he can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. See, he's a great God of comfort and a God of promise upon promise upon promise. But again, by faith he stood, and by faith we stand. Romans 10:17. Let's turn there. We'll just go ahead and read it, even though we know it by memory. That's Romans 10:17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that word hearing has a much greater meaning than just hearing. It means receiving of a message. It's the effectual working through belief in the word. See, faith transcends us to victory. It does. In a moment. In a twinkle of an eye. It really is. I experience a twinkle of an eye when God, by His grace, allows me to take hold of faith and believe His word. And in a moment, I'm living victory. And it means so much to me. I believe we all understand that. Faith gave him the willingness to suffer. Faith gave him respect and honor and a vision of the reality of God's promise. The reality of your promise. To really have a focus, to really have a purpose, to really have a meaning. We've said it before here recently, it's about really living the life of a Christian. Living the life. Not playing church. Not playing church. We spend a lot of time at this. It's good time. But is He the sole focus of your affection? Think about it. Are you really sold out for the things of God? That's where He wants you. This is a place, by the grace of God, that we're after His best. It's a privilege. And the Word of God encourages us to run well. To not be weary. To not faint. But to be encouraged. To not be sleepy. But to be watchful. Expecting that any moment He could come. That I would be ready. That I would be all pleasing in His sight. That I would be prepared to meet Him in the air. That's the reality of faith. That's the reality of faith. That's the great faith. Again, I was thinking, we're going to read by the grace of God later on here in Hebrews about how they were stoned and tempted and slain by the sword, and the world was not even worthy for them. This is the 37th, 38th verse. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. I never did that. Roughing it for me was a Holiday Inn. No, just serious. I wasn't really trying to be funny in a sense, but it was factual. But there's great faith in that. There's great faith in where God has us today. Things are so easy. Everything's done for us. That's why there's a form of godliness now, but they deny the power. We're so efficient, technologically advanced. We're so smart, aren't we? There's very few anymore that are really seeking the things of God. Because it's been watered down. They've taken doctrine out of the church. Did you know that? And they even admit it. People don't want doctrine. Well, I knew that a long time ago. How many thousand years ago was it written? They won't, what? Stand for sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to have it. They run from it. That's where we're at. So hallelujah that by the grace of God, He still has drawn us into that great faith. But they're living something that is not the best. This is the reason why Christians fade away, never enter in. Because there's no belief, there's no holding dear. The promise isn't real. The living is truly not Christ. We need to be going for the God's best. And that's what He wants. And that's when we really truly have free, abandoned faith. The future things, those that are not seen, are they real? Are they even more real than the things that are seen on this earth? Knowing that Egypt, this world, is all dust. Brother Hill said to one of his family members before the Lord took him, he looked around his place and he had those pretty antiques. And he said, do you realize all this is dust? It's all dust. It's not even going to be here. But the eye sees is going to be gone. It's going to be all new. It's all for us. Praise God. To meet Him in the air is what He is promising to us if we will believe it, just as He promised Moses to be the deliverer. But the vision is only by faith. And it is sustained only by faith. The Word is God's promise. And all of it has already happened or is going to happen. By His grace, may this be so real to us that every part of us, every day, longs to see Him. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And I love that word recompense. It truly is the epitome of Brother Hill's payday someday. He had respect, this Moses, and admiration for the payday. That wondrous payday. Let it so speak to us. The goal to win Christ. Christ, my prize, again to win Him. Pharaoh, you have to think at this time. He was basically the president, the king, the Bill Gates of his time. And Moses was his son. That's how he looked at Moses. But Moses forsook it. And there was no fear in that forsaking it. And there is no fear in faith and perfect love. He endured. He suffered the loss of all things. And he saw the unseeable. Faith pierces unbelief and sees the invisible God. It does. It sees God in everything. And that's where God wants faith in our lives. It wants us to see God in everything. In every step of our lives. Do you believe that your steps are ordered of the Lord? I do. I believe my steps are ordered. I believe solemnly, sovereignly, that all things work together for my good because He has caused me to love Him. I am called according to His purpose. That He's going to perfect that which concerns me. That's not an arrogance. It's because of the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God gives me faith to believe every word by the grace of God that He has pledged to me. It's available. It's there. I am the new creation. I have access to all of it. How much am I going to take? How much am I going to believe? How much will I enter in and walk through that land? Am I going to possess it? I've been thinking about that word vision. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Without a vision, the people perish. And I was thinking, well, Lord, I could have a vision, but I don't necessarily go and take it for my own. Well, that word vision means revelation. It means to embrace. Okay, Lord, I understand. It's the whole thing. It's everything. It's fellowship. It's supping with Him. It's going in and possessing it for my own. It's not the faith that my mom might have or my pastor might have, and that's good enough for me. It's mine. It's my personal Jesus that I take home with me, that's in the car with me, that goes to bed with me. That's there when I'm sleeping and I'm out. And then He wakes with me. And He's always there with me. That's your God. That's your Lord. And He is yours. And yours to visit with at all times. But by faith He trusted in the blood, the Savior to come. In this barren time of slavery and hardship, He rested in the blood as His victory. And He kept the word of the Lord dear. And it was amazing to me in looking at these things, the pattern of belief in the full overcomer. Whether it was Moses or David or Ruth or Esther or Elijah, whoever it was still the word of God. It was in faith. They held it dear, and everything was that promise that God had given to them. Everything. I think about Moses. Again, we were never raised in a palace. But he had no affection for that. His love was still with the people of God. You think about Joseph. He was second in command of all of Egypt. But yet he took his children to be blessed by his daddy. Because he knew that's where his promise was. As riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. If things start to go in a sense that the Lord blesses you, whether it's with education or things in your life, don't let things take control of you. Let the power of God rest upon your life. Let the power of faith rest upon your life. Don't let the power of anything else by the grace of God rest upon your life. Don't let it have control of you. That's that faith again. That lack of faith, I should say. That's the sin that so easily besets us. When something else has power over our life. And it can be feelings too. It can be fear. Like I say, with your kids. Moses, his parents could have been just locked in fear. They could have had no faith at all. And said, oh, my son's dead. Where would we be to examine ourselves to say, Lord, help me through each and every situation. Help me to have that great faith that can take me through anything. Anything. Is anything hard for God? Are you facing a situation tonight that is too big for God? Well, He said He's for you. Are you resting in that God is for you? Are you feeling something that maybe the enemy is getting you down with? Well, I'm not really living my life and I've really disappointed God and look at I'm such a bumbler and a failure. Okay. Maybe you're right. But do you trust God that He'll perfect that which concerns you? That He'll perform the work in your life? That He's the author and the finisher of your faith? That in a moment when I call His name, I'm boldly before the throne of grace? Did it say I had to go any way before the throne of grace or just to come before the throne of grace? Did it say I had to do right that day to get before the throne of grace? A lot of times when I'm thinking that way, I never even go to the throne of grace because I'm looking at myself. Or I might be looking at you. And if I look at you, how am I getting before the throne of grace? These are things that God's working on in our life, working on in my life. But it's so victorious, it must have been. When God calls Moses, He calls him in that burning bush. And then He calls him on to see the mighty hand of God and the plagues. But that was the wonderful thing about Moses, and I so appreciate him. All those wondrous works. All those wonderful miracles. But yet, he went to the supplier. He didn't get caught up into those miracles. See, they knew the acts, but he knew the ways of God. And why did he know the way of God? Because he fellowshipped with God. He knew God face to face. This is how we know God face to face. This is how you know God face to face. He speaks with you through these words. This is the Word. This is His Son. It became flesh and dwelt among us. This is His conversation with us continually. Brother Hill used to talk about masticate. How that cow would just sit under that tree and go from stomach to stomach with its food. Well, these stomachs under His grace are endless. Endless. One verse. How many times does He take just one verse and He brings it back to you? And he brings it back in a sweeter and a deeper way every single time. Because that's the Word of God that's alive. It's living. There's nothing like that. There's no book you've ever read that's like that. Because there's never been a book that's Jesus. This is the Word. It became flesh. It dwelt among us. It was tempted and tried in every way. And it's perfect. Hallelujah. And that's what we have that's for us. But there he was. Those Jews leaving. Millions of them. Not a dog barked. And then it says the dry ground. It was enough that the sea was parted. That would have been enough for me. But then the dry ground. I just think again how he always does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He's got everything planned out to the smallest detail. Everything. Do you believe that? See, in my life, what I try to do is I see God's hand in something. Really. And I can see it divinely. There it is. He's made the way. He's opened the door. And then I'm going to help. That kind of how it is? Do you believe His way is perfect? Does He need any assistance? He doesn't. I want to be a co-laborer together with Christ. But you know what? He's the master and commander of the ship. And He's on it. Oh, hallelujah. And He's guiding it. And where He leads by His grace, I want to follow. And that's when I rest. And my hand always, like I said, on that potter's wheel, it was a mess. And I'm His workmanship. But He's before and behind. That was the wonderful Son, the angel of God. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. Always with us. Always the perfect God of comfort. Able to deliver and always right on time. You'll notice, too, where it says about that they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Faith in God is always working good for His children. But faith in God is oh so destructive to His enemies. He'll take care of your enemies. I've seen it. And He takes care of them in a way that I could never even think of. But you know what the Lord's caused me to do? He's caused me to pray for them. And I mean that. I'm saying it before the Lord because I know it. And that's only Him. I definitely was from the seed of, well, vengeance is yours, Lord, after I get through with them. It's called ego. Especially in men. I know. We got to settle the score. We got to right the wrong. We got to do all that, don't we? What did Jesus say? He just said to love. Pray for them. You do good unto them that despitefully use you. He'll take care of them. They dug a pit for me. I've seen many of men do that. And I have to say there is a satisfaction to know that Lord's for me. And I saw them fall into those pits. They thought that they were going to ensnare me in many times. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of man. God's for you. God's for you. Okay? He has the hearts of the rulers in His hands. He causes them to do exactly what He wants. That includes your boss. Includes your manager. Includes your co-workers and all those different things. And even in this assembly, as Brother Hill used to talk about so many times about the diamond dust. We're cutting one another. And I don't want to cut you in a sense. But you know what? God uses us. And we may even be in the will of God with one another. I've even seen this. I'm telling you the truth. In the will of God with one another. But because of personalities, it still cuts. Did you know that? And I have to have grace for that. And you need to have grace for me. It's a wonderful thing. That's the greatest cutting. I don't necessarily like to see the cutting when one's walking out of the will of God and cutting on the one. But you know what? God allows it. And I want to be in His will. And I want to be continuing to walk in His will. And look at God. And look at God. And look at God. Not you and not me, but I want to look at God. And He's going to take care of that, isn't He? Praise Him. Praise Him for that. See, I'm so glad that He's for me. I'm glad that I'm on the hallelujah side. And in Mark 9:23 and 10:27, if you ever get down on something, you ever think something's too big, it says right there that all things are possible with God. And then he said it a different way. He said, with God, all things are possible. You got sufficient witness from God? One time was good enough, but he gave it to you twice. And over throughout the Word of God, he says it a different way. But just trust him for it. Let's read verses 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I love this wonderful man, Joshua. So sweet to me. Has some deep meaning. That great prophet Moses, he passed away. And there was old Joshua, the vessel that was chosen to minister. Had to be a hard spot to be in. And Moses was the greatest prophet. Oh, we got you. Uh-oh. I'm sure he was looking around. And who? You know? Me? Yeah, you. I chose you. You be an empty vessel to me, Joshua. I'll fill you up. And I'm going to take them into the promised land. And you're going to lead those people in there. Isn't that something? Oh, hallelujah. I knew he had a lot of need of faith. But it was God that led him. And he never failed and he never forsakes. And he said, fear not. That was Deuteronomy 31:8. Be strong and of good courage, he told him. That's Joshua 1. And he didn't tell him just once. He had to tell him 3 times. He had to go beyond sufficient witness for him. Yeah, he had to go beyond, I'm telling you. I better stop there or I'll scare you. But God knew there was fear. But the word came and he believed him. And faith brings him to Jericho, and that's this wonderful verse that we have here. And Jericho means fragrance. And the world can appear very attractive. But you'll notice that when you talk about and you look about that city, Jericho, it was shut up, and it was shut up against God. It was completely against God. And obviously this is a type of the judgment that's going to come. And it will be destroyed, and only those that have the blood will be saved. And this was the first fruits of Canaan. God had just brought them into the promised land, and this city was to fall, and all the treasure within it was going to be God's. And so wonderful to note, if you read through this story, one of the things, there's many things to note. You could take one verse here, and we could go on we could go just on and on. But you'll notice that the ark, they finally put that ark behind them when they went to get the city. And I so love that. And that speaks of how faith, by faith, that redemption, it was finished. It was behind them. They reckoned it. They reckoned that it was done. It was completed. The foundation was laid. And now they go into the promise, upon faith, from the glory to glory. And we're there. Hallelujah. We're there. With God, we dwell in the land of promise. And our future of inheritance is right before us. And there's going to be a judgment that's coming. We talk about all these things that have happened in the world today. You know, everybody's crying out, well, this is judgment. This is judgment. This is judgment. Well, this is grace. This is great grace. I was even thinking of the brothers in the internet ministry that we have right now. The internet's used for a lot of horrible things. But you know, God's got great grace. We have people listening to studies and tapes and things all over the world. It's wonderful. People can get online that we don't even know about and come in and fellowship and sup with the things of God. In every country. That's a huge thing. Well, the internet's of the devil. Come on now. Come on. Think about it. This is God's work. I'm not saying the internet's of God, but he allowed it. And he'll use anything that he wants to use. And that's a wonderful tool that can reach other people. But you know what? Didn't need that to reach other people, did he? No. If you have a heart for God, that's why I say trust him. If you have family that lives out of town, you have family that lives out of nowhere, you know what? If they want the Word of God, if they want to know the Lord, he'll reveal himself to them. Do you believe it? That's what the Word of God says. If you have faith, he's going to meet you with it. You want to know him, he'll let you know him. You want his best, he'll bring you right in. It's out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. We don't have an exclusive here. Not because we're at this place, not because we're at this time or anything of that nature. God said at every kindred, tongue and nation is going to be that bride. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And I think that there's some kindreds and tongues that may have had some hard time getting the word or different pieces of it. They may not have all the tracks and all that. But you know what? They have the same Jesus. And you know what? They have the Holy Spirit. And if you'll meet the Holy Spirit and you'll just let Him reveal the Word of God to you, He'll lead you into the best. So I say we don't have to wrestle with it. We don't have to struggle with it. And I know some of us do. Oh, I want to have this. I want it to be this way. Let God fill you. Let Him fill you with the goodness of God. Let Him fill you with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Even the cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet has its reward. And that was Rahab. And we'll finish up with her. This woman was mentioned along with Joseph, Moses, Elijah. All of them, wasn't she? She's a prostitute. It's quiet. They don't like that word. What? I woke up. What did he say? Huh? What is he talking about? Right there with Moses. With David. You better than somebody? You're not. But for the grace of God, there go I. God will use whatever He wants to use. And God will fill whatever He wants to fill. Don't judge it. Love it. Love your brother and sister in Christ. Accept them. Bring them in. This lady became Israel. She became part of Israel. Do you know that? She became part of the lineage. Oh my gosh. God used her? Oh my. You know what? You should look in the mirror and say, God uses me? Oh my. Huh? Huh? Oh, there's some deep stuff in this, I'll tell you. But she wasn't just a hearer. She heard by the word. And again, translated as far more than hearing, it's conviction, it's belief, it's laying a hold. And that's just what Rahab did. The word was taken in faith. And it moved the pleasing work that saved her and her family. And she's still spoken about today. And it wasn't just one time in the Word of God. It was four or five times. This one woman, this harlot. Over and over. And we speak about her today. Talk about a cold cup of water. And I believe that that lady was brought into a fellowship with God that was so sweet. I really do believe it. I believe the Lord was faithful, so faithful, that He allowed her to just blossom in that environment of God's people. And that gives me encouragement. See, that was her measure of faith and she accepted it. And oh, what reward! Again, she dwelled with Israel. Christ saved, even back then, anyone that would come to Him. Do you know that? See, people just thought, well, it was just the Jews. No, it wasn't. Anyone that would come to Him, He would save. Yes, He did. Even with Moses, He gave him a Gentile wife. Oh my! Can you imagine? Quit judging. It's God. Well, they shouldn't be together. What do you think of that? You know what God looks on? He looks on the heart. He looks on, when He said equally yoked together, that's a big thing. Something that's been on my heart quite a bit, quite a many months, quite a many years with the young people been in the class. You guys have known that for many years. I said, before you give your heart away to someone, by the grace of God, make sure they give their heart away to the Lord first. You can't change them. Now, God could change them, but could you take a chance with that? You're after God's best. I believe you wouldn't be here tonight if you really weren't after God's best. I think He's calling you into something. It's a great decision when you get yoked. You want to be equally yoked. God wants to bond you. He said, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Right? Do you realize the kind of bond, and I know many of you have experienced this, that He can give you when you are a husband and wife that are running for the things of God? I can even wake up in the morning and tell her I love her when she didn't cook me breakfast. I'm just teasing. Most time I cook her breakfast. And even when I don't, she still tells me she loves me. But that's the bond that He can give you. And that's what He wants for you. And that's, like I say, with this Rahab, whether it was Moses' wife, the Gentile. God loves everybody. He does. Gave His Son for everyone. Love people. Bring them in. Capture them with love. That's the only thing that's going to do it. Love them. And the Word of God is love. It's not a compromise here. But you give out the Word of God in love. You're not condemning. It's not to judge. That's someday. And that's going to be left up to God. And through His Son. And there's judgment that's going to be a coming. But He came to save that which was lost. And by the grace of God, I want to be a tool and I want to be a vessel that spreads the love of God, that wins people to Christ, that'll bring people in here by the grace of God that want to know more about Jesus, that want to come into a relationship where I can know Him as my own, beyond Savior. Savior's wonderful, but beyond Savior. Somebody was even saying something about friend. It's kind of sad that people only know Jesus as their friend. Oh, I think it's wonderful to know Jesus as your friend. Jesus is my friend. He's my friend that sticks closer than a brother. But like we said before, but I know Him as my Father too. I know Him as my love. And He's all of those things. He's everything. Everything to you. And by faith He became everything to Rahab in a moment by receiving those spies. And that's what faith is. It's just receiving God. Receiving the promise that He's given you, that He'll take care of it. That it's done, it's completed, it's finished. My work is perfect. Now rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Living godliness, that's where we walk into that. By faith. By faith. He always looks on the heart. Sin's too wicked, we'd say. Oh, His scars are too deep. God uses and moves in who He wants. He chose the weak to confuse and to confound the wise. He chose the lowly and the rejected, and they're esteemed in His eyes. If a heart will move with God, if a heart will move with God, it can achieve the highest calling. Condescend to men of low estate. Grace flows down. All right? I appreciated one of my uncles said the other day, and I do appreciate this. Can we really show grace to one another? Yeah, we can show God's grace. But it really is true only Jesus Christ can show grace, because that's coming down. I'm not above you and you're not above me. I can love you. We can share the grace of God. Love your brother. Not just your brother in this church. Love your brothers everywhere. Everywhere. Pray for them. I want them to run. And we were going to say, hey, who's bewitched you? If that's the case, ye did run well. Who's hindering you? But I want to love them. If I love them, I fulfilled the law. That's the love of Christ in me. Let's stand for prayer.